I'm living proof that love wins. I'm living proof that love wins. Welcome back, friends. Happy, happy Tuesday. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is, of course, another episode of the Reconnect With Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this platform, super thrilled that you are here. My name is Emma G. I'm a singer-songwriter, that was my song, as well as a youth empowerment through songwriting and music coach, helping teenagers to learn how to express themselves healthily using the means of music and songwriting. Now, I recognize that that is not the most conventional way when it comes to working with young people. So I thought, why not reach out to a whole bunch of other unconventional youth workers, mentors, psychologists, therapists, coaches, and more to talk about their unique factor when it comes to helping young people thrive in 2024 and beyond. Today, I am thrilled and honored to be joined by somebody who has a very unique way of, I think, working with young people, because it's very easy for us, I think, to get stuck in the muck when it comes to young people. But Jay Dusold is somebody who helps teenagers really step into their power, step into their voice, step into their future selves, with autonomy and authority, because he is the founder of Life After 12th. How are you doing, Jay?
Hi, Emma. I'm doing great. So glad to be on the show. Glad to hang out with your audience today and share this great passion of mine. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Of course. No, this is awesome. I mean, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, I'm so thrilled because, you know, you are, I think, the sixth maybe male to actually be on this show, but you are definitely somebody who, the first person who has, who focuses really on the future young adult, as opposed to, again, the stuck in the muck, things are crazy, young adult that we tend to kind of focus on in the here and now. I'm curious to know what that sort of looks like for you. What made you decide to work with young people in a futuristic manner, as opposed to, I think, what most people think of when they think of youth working, of like, okay, things are going crazy here and now. How do I fix this and all the trauma right here? You're looking at it through a future lens. Tell me more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, first of all, I love the fact that there are so many people who are committed to that present stuck in the muck stage of young people. It takes all of us, including what you do. I'm so thankful for what you do and your work. So I think the thing that really made me attractive to this whole kind of futuristic version of young people and really helping them find their fit in the world of work was birthed out of helping my own son. So when my first son was, he was probably a junior in high school back in 2014, I was trying to help him, you know, figure it out. And I was concerned that he wouldn't really be able to reach his full potential. And I was concerned that, like me, he would go down several paths that really wouldn't work out or he'd realize weren't for him. And as any, you know, caring parent, you want your kids to do better than you and have better than you. Yes. And that's exactly what my heart was for my son. I didn't want him to go through some of the confusion that I experienced in my journey of trying to figure out my place in the world of work. And so that was kind of the impetus to get focused on this work, because not only did I help him, but I learned during that process that this is a huge issue for most young people. I was not aware of that. And so it sparked me to focus on this in my work.
I love that. I think, you know, with a lot of the young people that I work with, and the work that I do, there seems to be a lot of pressure on our young people to kind of study harder and do more and achieve more and do all the things. But so often their minds are like, but things are kind of, you know, overwhelming and scary. And I'm trying to, you know, navigate all of these things. The future kind of feels a little bit almost intangible for them. How do you navigate that with, you know, the 12th graders that you're working with? Or do you start at a younger age?
Yeah, you know, I always tell parents that the ideal time to come and join in the work I do it's not based on an age. It's based on a strong desire to have the answer about direction figured out. So listen, you work with a diverse type of young people, diverse group. You know that, you know, you can have a 14-year-old who's super motivated to kind of figure that out right now. And yet you can have a 19-year-old who's not, right? And so it really depends on where each young person is with their desire to figure it out. And you're right, Emma, there is so much that overwhelms young people, so much in the present to deal with. It's so hard for them to kind of objectively pull back and then start thinking about their future. Not even to mention then that they are inundated with options, more so than ever. And, you know, we can tend to think that, oh, the more options you have, the more freedom you have. That's not true. Studies show that there is what's called analysis paralysis, meaning when there are so many options, it becomes overwhelming to try to sort through all the information to make a great choice. And so what happens? We shut down. We get paralyzed. We become overwhelmed. And this is what's happening with so many young people with all of these new options. It is completely overwhelming.
I could not agree more.
And you see it. I'm sure you see it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The thing that like constantly astounds, I feel like is too strong of a word, but perplexes maybe, I don't know, intrigues me. Let's say the thing that intrigues me at the moment is that, you know, a lot of the education system that we currently are, you know, using in most schools across the country and the world, if we're being honest, is very focused on, you know, equipping young people for the job market that is by and large extinct or definitely on the way out. Yep. You know, we see it with the invention of AI, you know, self-express checkouts and things. That we also almost like we're equipping our young people in school systems, or in school, you know, in our education system for a future that is dying. Yeah. But what you're doing is, you know, helping young people to kind of equip themselves with tools and dreams and ambitions and a drive to help young people kind of, you know, create a future for themselves, not just fit into a box, I think, which I think is so inspiring. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, like, what are some of the maybe hiccups that you've experienced or found some of your young people endure as you've been, you know, as you've been trying to navigate this ever-evolving career landscape?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few come to mind. I think the biggest hiccup, so to speak, I love that word. I love how you put that, that I encounter is that so many young people who have this amazing innate wiring that would come out in very distinct ways are absolutely suppressed and oppressed by things like the cultural narrative, right? The cultural narrative, which basically tells everyone you're always better off going to college right after high school and earning a degree, which is, I don't know if you're allowed to say foul words on your show, but it's absolutely
bollocks.
it's BS. It's just not true. So our young people are squeezed into these molds, these cultural narratives, these societal scripts that are running in the background, putting tremendous amount of pressure on them to conform. And so many of them are just not wired for, you know, a post-high school academic experience. But we've elevated that. We worship the degree. And it ruins so many young people. So that's one, the cultural narratives too. A lot of times I see the parental expectations, Emma. You know, well-meaning, well-intentioned parents, they want their kid on a particular trajectory into a certain career. And they're not taking into account whether or not it's actually a good fit for their child, whether or not it's actually in the best interest of their child to head in that direction. So that's another huge issue is these parental expectations that can often bring a lot of confusion. And again, kind of create a more oppressive, suppressive environment where the young person intuitively knows that's not where they should be headed, but they're under that pressure from parents and other significant people in their lives. So those are two big issues that I see young people are facing. And then thirdly is the whole comparison trap.
Yeah.
With so much access to social media and everyone else's lives, it is easy. I mean, listen, Emma, you and I, you know, we're probably a similar age. Every human falls into the comparison trap. But the more access you have to the lives of others, the more you realize and get drawn away from focusing on your own self, and you're so fixated on the lives of everybody else. And that includes the comparison. And I always tell young people, true success is making the most of what you have been given. And the degree to which you are focused on someone else's life, someone else's success, you're robbing yourself from what you deserve. And that is your full attention on you. Mm-hmm. It's being all that energy, all that power, all that focus, it's being siphoned away from people who don't know you and don't even care about you, but you're giving them your affection. You're giving them your energy, trying to be like them, but you may not ever be able to because you don't have their resources. You don't have their opportunities. You don't have their aptitudes. So true success is you making the most of what you've been given. And so that's another big hurdle, a big hiccup young people face in moving forward into their best future is that comparison trap that's so easy, especially today.
It's interesting because I think you're completely right in that comparison trap in terms of, you know, that I don't have the grass is greener next door type thinking. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've noticed in the work that I've been doing is, you know, how powerful it is, to your point, of recognizing the superpowers that are often a little bit dirty, you know, that we all possess. What I mean by that is, you know, we often look at our misgivings or our misfortunes or our struggles mm-hmm. as things that are just there to be trial us. Whereas I think a lot of our strengths and a lot of our superpowers mm-hmm. come from those adverse experiences. And so when it comes to finding, you know, comparing apples and oranges, it's really hard for a lot of people to recognize, but I'm a dope strawberry. Right. And, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think a mm-hmm. lot of that is passed on from mm-hmm. parents.
Yeah.
But we also keep stepping aside from social media for a minute. We also live in a world, kind of embracing social media at the same time. Mm-hmm. We also live in a world where, like, the opportunities for strawberries to be the best strawberries mm-hmm. is now showing up, as well as the best bananas and apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what does it look like for a young person who is maybe a little bit left of center, mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, subscribe to the whole, I'm going to, you know, go to Harvard and, mm-hmm. you know, study management. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I would say a few things. So in my work, the first and most important thing that we do is we gain an understanding of a young person's wiring. And this is so important. And we do it in a way that's very unique. So there are a lot of tools out there that are what I would call question-based assessments. And this is where a young person is given a question or a statement, there's provided answers, and then they have to be good enough at self-reflection to select the answer that's actually reflecting their true self, not their envisioned version of themselves. So the tool I use is a cool narrative-based tool. Young people tell stories about things from their past, and we're actually able to analyze their patterned repeated behavior in those stories, and we detect this wiring that is unique to them. And once they have that kind of self-awareness through that method that's reliable, they start to understand their identity in brand new ways. Mm. And Emma, I know you've seen this with your work. So much of what a young person struggles with on the surface is because of a lack of understanding of their true identity beneath the surface.
Amen.
And when I see a young person start to understand themselves, and maybe they've been hurt by lies or labels or limitations. Those are the three things that can really attack and hurt a young person's self-awareness. Mm-hmm. The lies that they place on themselves, the limitations they think they have when they compare themselves to others, or unfortunately, the labels mm-hmm. others have put on them, especially in their childhood. right? And so what it looks like for me with someone who's kind of a little different or out of the normal box, so to speak, it's helping them first understand their identity, helping them get convinced of that through mindset work, and helping them see this is the real version of you. You may be clinging to a self-awareness that's actually damaged and untrue. So let's set you free to truly be who you are. And so that's really an important first stage, is helping them really grasp their identity. And then we look at what are jobs that would allow you to fully flourish? What are jobs that will allow you to kind of be who you were designed to be, so that you'll experience motivation for that thing? You'll experience success. You'll find fulfillment in that. And so that last stage is really helping them align and match an actual job to their wiring so they can experience that full potential.
What about, like, so you're talking obviously about like jobs is a very key component to, you know, how most of the world works. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there seems to be a lot of drive or, you know, a lot of buzz, I should say, at the moment around this whole entrepreneurial game. Now, you're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, there's this idea, I think, in especially with Gen Z and millennials, of which I am one, but, you know, here we are. Only just. But, you know, this idea around being an entrepreneur means that you don't have to work as much, which obviously is a complete fallacy. I guess my question is really, like, when it comes to guiding Gen Z through, you know, figuring out their identity, which is beautiful, and aligning that with the appropriate job or career, mm-hmm. how do you balance the career-driven people to the entrepreneurial type people to the, you know, the job type people? How does that look like from your perspective as a mentor?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I say job, I see an entrepreneur as a job. I use the word job to mean like what you do for work that gets you money. We can call mm-hmm. it a career, a job, whatever. But the bottom line, it's a job, mm-hmm. right? All three of those categories ultimately go back to a clearly defined thing that you do to earn money. I just call it a job. It simplifies it. Fair. So I love the idea of entrepreneurism. I think technology has made it possible for so many people to be entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. where 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that wasn't possible. I know it's a big craze right now, and there are a lot of people who are completely misled to believe that they can be an entrepreneur, partially because they don't really understand what that means. Mm-hmm. They see the, oh, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. I wanna be an entrepreneur. Right. All right, that is a great facet of entrepreneurism, but a benefit of not having a boss breathing down your neck is really, it can't be the only thing that moves you into considering that potential direction, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, well, I just want the freedom to make all the choices I wanna make. Again, fantastic feature of being an entrepreneur, but those things aren't enough. And just because you want to go do your own thing doesn't make you an entrepreneur. So I think we slap that label on everyone who just doesn't want to go get a traditional 9-to-5 job. And it's unfair to what true entrepreneurism is. And what I've seen happen a lot of times, Emma, with young people who kind of want to, you know, just kind of go that route uninformed, is that there's two sides of the entrepreneur coin, and no one really talks about this, and this is so important. You have to first make sure that the good or service that you are intending to release into the universe is something that you're wired to do, right? So if you're going to make a widget, it has to be the best damn widget that you can make, and it has to be competitive. If you're going to offer a service, it has to be the best damn service in that industry that someone can actually put forth. That's mm-hmm. only one side. Ensuring that you're wired to create the product or service is only one half of the entrepreneur coin. The other side, which no one talks about, is all of the other stuff that goes into being a successful entrepreneur. Whether it's a solopreneur and you never intend to scale into a company, it's still the same. And that is all of the other components, like risk-taking, analyzing opportunity, all of the social media marketing, all the financial things, all of the self-management that goes into being successful as an entrepreneur. So I see this in the coaching industry, Emma, as probably you have. Everyone sold this bill of goods. Oh, you can be a coach. You can be a coach. You can be a coach. I've seen lots of people waste lots of money pursuing licensing and credentialing for being a coach. And then they start their business and they fail. And you know what? They're excellent coaches. That's not the problem. The problem is they never considered the whole other side of the entrepreneurial coin, which is all that other stuff we just talked about. And they fail because of that. They fail because they don't have the wiring for all of the other stuff that's required.
And that's where you come in, is that you're helping young people to recognize the, you know, the business, being in the business, but also being on the business, right? I think as a creative, it's one of the things that I, you know, specifically had to learn the hard way, is that there's, you know, you spend 30% of your time working in the business, doing the performing, the writing, the recording, you know, whatever, but then you spend 70% of the rest of your time working on the business, which I think is something that, you know, I'm really grateful that people like you exist to help young people equip themselves with that knowledge, that schema, so that they can set themselves up for success.
Absolutely.
I also feel as if there is a mother truck of parents out there who are listening to this potentially and thinking, dang, I wish I'd had somebody like you to help, you know, me, because a lot of people who are in the 9-to-5 job are actually entrepreneurs undercover. How do you, you know, do you find with your work, as you're working with 12th graders and approximately in age young people, that you're finding much overlap between them and their parents when it comes to, you know, that re-identification of identity and how they want to set themselves up in the job market?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you know, my sweet spot are, you know, typically 17 to 24 year olds. That's kind of the you know, the average age range of my clients. Mm-hmm. And what happened when I started this work 10 years ago, I had parents say to me, Jay, I'm 47. I'm absolutely miserable. Can this help me? In-career adults express that I actually started a version of what I do for in-career older adults. However, I don't market that. I'd rather give my time to young people, but I have worked with many adult clients. And what I see in the lives of parents of my clients is increasingly an acknowledgement that they are stuck and they are miserable, and an increasing desire for that not to happen to their kids. And so they'll say, yeah, I know where I'm at in my own career path. And, you know, but I feel stuck now because I can't just pivot. I've got a family. I've got lots of financial obligations. I now have to stay here because of my situation. I don't want my kid ending up in the same predicament. And I want you to help. And I'm seeing increasingly parents open to break from that cultural narrative of college only. And they're willing to say, I just want my son or my daughter to really be successful and happy. We don't care if that's in a career, a job that requires a degree or not. We just want them in a spot where they could be thriving and reach their full potential. So I absolutely see that correlation and a lot of lament on the part of parents for where they're at. And they just don't want their kids to be in the same place.
Yeah, for sure. You've mentioned culture a couple of times, which I'm not going to lie, is kind of one of my happy places, because, and I'll tell you why. You know, I grew up in New Zealand, and I'm a very multicultural human being, being Fijian, American, Persian, Kiwi, and, you know, obviously American, you know, Norwegian as well, if you can believe it. But the, you know, one of the things that I love in the youth work that I do is that it's very culturally relative. I see, back to your point of you know, our superpowers and knowing our identities, I like to draw on our cultural backgrounds as parts of who we become in the world and how we show up for the world. And of course, culture is not just ethnic, it's also to do with our educational background, to do with our family background, to do with our you know, everything sociological about who we are. I'm curious to know, especially given that you're in, you know, you're in York, Pennsylvania, and I've not been to York. I apologize. My mother's from Erie. You're on mute. Yeah, not far away. But I'm curious to know, when you're talking about culture and how that plays into the role of job market, how does that show up for the young people you work with? Because, I mean, you just came back from Colorado, so mm-hmm. it's not like you're only focusing on Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. but like, how does culture play a role in the landscape of the job market for young people, especially considering, you know, the prevalence of social media being so huge?
That's a great question. Yeah. And I'm able to work with students around the world. I've worked with clients internationally. So, you know, I'm exposed to students that come from, diverse cultures for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because irregardless of, you know, a culture, young people are still the same. And young people still have that. Yeah, I know. Shocker. Newsflash. I think probably the biggest way that I see culture influence and shape people, young people, are particular expectations. I think that's the biggest issue. Whether it's you know, the place that they live, there's certain expectations, certain definitions of, well, you know, what is success? What does it mean to be happy? What does it mean to, you know, achieve? And so I think that's the biggest correlation and connection I see between culture and the young people I work with is the shaping influences that have defined like what success is and what they should be striving for. And sometimes, you know, when we get into the work of what we're doing, and especially when we start doing mindset work, they realize that some of their false self-perceptions have been due to the ways that their culture has actually influenced them. And they've kind of have to visit that idea and identify some of those things that have been with them for a long time. But they now realize are shaping them in directions that aren't helpful for getting them to that great fit into that thriving place of full potential.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you do this all like, I mean, you jump right in when people start working with you, right? Like you start, people call you up and the first thing you do, I think, is kind of send them an assessment tool so that you can kind of start to really personalize the coaching that you're doing with the young people, with, you know, whether that encompasses culture or background or dreams or, you know, that that comparison narrative that we tend to circle for ourselves. What does a typical session with you look like?
Yeah, so the coaching work I do, there are four really distinct phases. So yes, you're correct. The first thing that we do, we kind of work on that unique story-based assessment. So working together in that section is we're identifying those stories. I'm helping them draw out details to kind of reconstruct what happened, what they did, how they did it. So that's kind of the nature of how we work together in phase one. In phase two, we're getting the results back and we're taking that presentation of who they are, this new way of seeing themselves. And we're kind of sitting with that. We're talking through it. We're asking how it feels. We're asking things like, what parts of this? Like if this thing is saying this is who you are, is that hard to accept? You know, have you had forces that have maybe been anti that, where you've been told other things? Like, how does this feel seeing that this mirror held up? Is this feel like you? And what parts do we have to talk through? Then we're moving from that part. We're moving into something called chart your course, where we're like, hey, we're finding a fit that actually is ideal for you, that holistically aligns with who you are. How do you move toward that? How can you do some things for self-preparedness and readiness right now while you're moving to that direction of being in that fit eventually? And then the fourth phase is mindset. And that's where we really look at, okay, we've got this great fit for you. You acknowledge it. You see how it connects with you and how it corresponds with who you really are. But you might have limiting beliefs that can cause you to stay stuck in self-sabotage. And so we look at, I call them nagging negativities. Yeah. Simply that is like an ongoing harassing negative thought about your capability or about your future. And that's kind of what we're focusing on. Are there any nagging negativities that come to mind? And then we just inspect those. We look at those and say, is there any truth to those things? What is the evidence of that truth? Is there evidence that the opposite is actually true? And so we help young people really understand, like, what are those things that have been nagging at you in a negative way for so long? And let's break the power of those things, especially if they're not true, because many times they're not. They're just perceptions, you know, and our minds are so powerful. We can accept perceptions as reality and then live out of and live based off of our response to perceptions. And they're not even true, which is so alarmingly incredible, right? So we finish up making sure that we've inspected those things to make sure there's nothing there that will cause self-sabotage when they move forward into the future.
I love that. I love that because, I mean, that aligns completely with what I do as a songwriter and a songwriting coach, is we help to rewrite those narratives that we have, yep. You know, led to believe, whether that's a 12-year-old or a 42-year-old, you know, where it's so easy to fall into those self-sabotaging moments and letting other people, you know, dictate the narrative of our stories.
Right. Sorry? As adults, we can, you know, man, we've got to always be doing mindset work to stay free right. from all those things. So, yeah, imagine how much more difficult it is for a young person. So, yeah, I'm absolutely. So glad that you focus on that with your work and with the songwriting facet.
Fantastic. Likewise. And I'm so glad to hear that you do, you know, while your sweet spot is the 17 to 24-year-olds, that you do also help other, you know, more seasoned humans. Seasoned. As my husband calls them, I'm a seasoned adult, you know. Yeah.
Well, you're still nice and young, so.
Oh, thank you. But no, this is awesome. I'm so glad that you do this kind of work and that you're so on the nose when it comes to, you know, serving Gen Z, not just millennials. You know, the world is consistently evolving, and it's really wonderful to see people like yourself evolving with it. Obviously, people can get in touch with you. You have a website, lifeafter12th.com. You also are on Facebook at J. Dusold. You have a Facebook group, Life After 12th. You're on LinkedIn. You're everywhere, which is fantastic. Before we go, is there anything last, you know, any last lingering words of wisdom that you would like to share with the audience today?
Well, you've asked so many good questions, and you know, even our first conversation, Emma, it was so great just to unpack things with you, talk so informally with you. I really appreciate you. The only thing I want to say to the listening audience, especially if they're parents, is speak affirmation and blessing over your kids about their future. And I suggest something super simple. I call it the awesome somewhere blessing. And so I want to leave this with you, if you're listening, parents or adults who are in the lives of young people. And the awesome somewhere blessing is this: you can be awesome somewhere. I believe in you and I'm for you, right? So simple. I believe in you. I'm for you. I know you can be awesome somewhere. Just speak that life-giving statement or those few little statements to the young people who are in your lives. There's an ancient Hebrew a proverb that says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And one of the greatest things a parent can do who wants to help but doesn't know how is just speak, release from your mouth those positive affirming words about their future. You'll never know what that does for them to hear someone in their corner who's speaking that positivity. And it's not BS, it's true. You believe in them, you're for them, and they can be awesome somewhere. Every young person can be awesome. It's a matter of helping them find where that is. And so speak that word of blessing over your kids or the young people who are in your lives today.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you to everybody who's listened, tuned in, is streaming, or is watching listening to the rerun. If you are unaware, we've been speaking to Jay Dusold. My name is Emma G. This is the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast. Until next time, friends, be good, be kind, and speak that affirmation, baby. Catch you later.
Bye.
Sitting high upon your throne. so comfortable, assertive. But chaos has a habit of testing who you are. Submissive or a savage, timid or a star. We rise up now, let the flames lick the wounds of the past. Let the change be the truth.